Hello and welcome to the Swiss Connection. I'm Susan Masika. When you watch the news on TV or listen to it on the radio, do you find yourself perking up your ears when you hear phrases like scientists say or research shows? After all, scientists are the authorities, the ones with the latest answers to society's burning questions about health, the environment, and technology, right? Well, yes and no. On the one hand, to get published in a journal like Science or Nature, studies have to meet certain standards. It comes down to the way the experimental question is formulated, how the data are collected, and the method used to analyze the results. Then, the study must be rigorously evaluated by other experts in the same field, in a process called peer review. These practices within the framework of the scientific method give scientific results an air of authority and trustworthiness. But they also make it easy to forget that science is always a work in progress, and that any theory or finding, published in even the most prestigious journal, could someday be turned on its head. One example of science in progress can be found at the most fundamental level of scientific understanding, the theory of the universe itself. Swiss Info journalist Celia Lutterbacher caught up with two Swiss astrophysics experts, both of whom have recently published papers that rocked the scientific community. Although their research is on completely different topics, the findings from both of their studies led to the same suggestion, that the so-called standard model of cosmology might need some tweaking.
Since the 1970s, the standard model of cosmology has done a pretty good job of explaining how the universe has developed since the Big Bang, more than 13 billion years ago. It also helps us to understand the structures and distributions of celestial bodies, like galaxies. But while it's the most consistently scientifically supported model of the cosmos, it's not a complete and airtight theory. There are still aspects of the standard model that don't quite align with scientific observations of the universe and its phenomena. One of these cosmological mysteries is the existence of dark matter and dark energy, which together are believed to make up the vast majority of the universe. In fact, in the standard model, it's estimated that only 5% of the universe is made up of ordinary detectable matter.
The dark matter is an heritage of the 20th century. Like the heater was an heritage of the 19th century.
That was André Maeder, an astrophysics researcher from the University of Geneva. We'll hear more from him later. Even though scientists generally assume that dark matter and dark energy are out there, neither has ever been seen or measured directly. So it can sometimes be difficult to reconcile these theoretical assumptions with astronomical observations, like those of Oliver Müller, a PhD candidate at the University of Basel.
The predictions are that the dwarfs should be distributed in a cloud, and we don't find that.
In recent months, both Müller and André Maeder have published studies challenging the standard model, at least in its current form, in prestigious journals. I decided to ask them about their theories and see what it's like to question the scientific status quo.
What we did now with the co-rotating satellites was scanning through the archive data, because we realized for some dwarf galaxies their data is already available, but not yet analyzed on this topic. So that's what we did.
When Oliver Müller and an international team of colleagues set out to do a survey of the satellite dwarf galaxies that orbit the larger galaxy of Centaurus A, about 13 million light-years from Earth, they noticed something strange. These satellite dwarf galaxies seem to be moving in the same plane and direction, in much the same way that planets in our own solar system orbit the Sun. But the current cosmological model, which assumes there's dark matter affecting the arrangement of these satellite dwarf galaxies, would predict them to move in a random cloud around Centaurus A, like bees around a beehive. In his office in the University of Basel Physics Department, which sits on a tree-lined street just outside of the city's picturesque Old Town, Müller explained why his team's observations are a problem for current cosmology.
Because we have our standard model of cosmology, and so we know from the Big Bang how matter should be distributed. We can just put this into supercomputers and make predictions on how such galaxy groups should look like. So we have now a testable theory. So the predictions are that the dwarfs should be distributed in a cloud, and we don't find that.
Stranger still was the fact that this unexpected pattern of satellite galaxy movement and alignment had been seen before in our own Milky Way galaxy group and that of the Andromeda galaxy, its nearest neighbor. After comparing their observations to public data sets of cosmological simulations, Müller and his colleagues found that the structure and movement of the Centaurus A dwarf galaxies would only be expected to occur less than 1% of the time under the standard model. And observing the phenomenon three times in a row, in the Centaurus A, Milky Way, and Andromeda galaxy groups, carries a probability of just 1 in 200 million. So does that mean the standard model is wrong?
I think it is challenged, yes, because this plane of satellite problem is not the only problem we face in cosmology. There are many, many problems because we don't see what is predicted. And therefore, yes, I say the standard model is heavily challenged.
And while Müller says he does think a paradigm shift in the standard model is in the future, much work still remains to be done.
I'm an observer, so I'm mostly interested in how the universe looks like. So in the end, I can't decide if the theory is correct or not. This has to be done by theorists. We also have to look at other galaxy groups and see if we find this phenomenon again and again and again. And if we do that, then with each finding, it will be more difficult.
In February, Müller became the lead author on a paper describing the team's findings that was published in the journal Science. Meanwhile, at the tranquil Geneva Observatory, a few kilometers outside of the bustling lakeside city, André Maeder is working on an even more radical and controversial theory. He argues that in order to explain the universe, we don't need any concept of dark matter in our theory of cosmology at all.
The dark matter is an heritage of the 20th century, like the heater was an heritage of the 19th century.
Maeder, an honorary professor at the University of Geneva, is retired from his career in the field of stellar evolution, but he's still avidly pursuing cosmological questions. In November, he published a study in the Astrophysical Journal that made headlines around the world. In it, he explained that the way the properties of the empty space are accounted for in Einstein's equations for gravitation doesn't allow for scale invariance. What that means is that the equations would change with a general dilation or contraction of space-time. But Maeder proposed that the starting hypothesis for these equations should be that the empty space is scale invariant. The details are a bit too complex to explain here. But to illustrate his theory, Maeder described how it could be used to explain some curious astronomical phenomena without the need for dark matter.
The spiral galaxies rotate around the central axis, and the velocities on the edge of the galaxies are very, very fast. Normally, in view of the mass present in these galaxies, the star should escape from the galaxy. So the hypothesis was there is a lot of dark matter that we don't see, and it can, by gravitational interaction, keep the star connected to the galaxy. Since 30 years, approximately, this is the current view that our universe, huge fraction, is in the form of dark matter, 6 or 8 times the visible matter. But within the context of this theory, there is no need of dark matter.
Challenging as it does such a long-supported theory in science, Maeder's paper sparked some controversy and even drew some criticism from other experts in the field for its theories and calculations. I asked him what he thought about the debate surrounding his work.
I would say it is the duty of scientists to question things. If we wanted just to accept things as they were for the past centuries, we would have made no progress. And many people, they just want to stick to the classical theory. But our duty is to explore new way. And these explorations are submitted to the critical analysis of colleagues and to the critical test of the observation.
Back in Basel, Oliver Müller's research resulted in some critical reaction as well.
It's interesting that I got critical feedback from non-experts. So really from people who don't have a background in this cosmology theory, those attacked me. In the community, not yet. It is still the discussion if this is significant. So it's how we interpret this data, but not about actual observations, because observations are observations. People said, you can't really rule out dark matter with these observations. And I was always like, we never wrote anything about that we ruled out. We said it is a challenge and it needs to be understood.
I also asked Müller what he thought of the response to Mader's publication. He said he was shocked at the reactions of scientists who ridiculed Mader's work, as this kind of challenge to an established theory is all part of the scientific process.
I think this was really, really arrogant, because this is the scientific approach. You have different ideas, and then later you try to test them. So you should be allowed to challenge and put in new ideas.
As for Mader himself, the proof is in the cosmological pudding. Although he's been retired for over a decade, he says he's already building on his work by further testing his hypothesis and comparing it with cosmological observations.
New theories, new propositions, whether they are right or wrong, have always been criticized. So I don't care. I listen to reasonable criticism, of course. And if some very good remarks are made, one has to take them into account. But just criticism for trying to destroy things, I don't care so much.
Finally, I asked Mader whether he thinks the standard model should be changed, if he finds that the results of his tests continue to support his theory. But his answer, like Müller's, suggests to me that maybe the question of whether or not the standard model should be changed isn't as interesting as it seems at first. Because the standard model of cosmology, like any scientific theory, can always be revised again and again and again. What's perhaps more interesting is how we get there.
It could be. You know, in science, nothing is ever finished, and any theory will change and modify and improve and enrich. If we look what was the stage of cosmology 30 years ago or 50 years ago, we see that there has been big change. And at all epochs in the history of science, one has thought that one has reached the top of the understanding. And clearly, there could be modification, maybe in the line I am proposing, but maybe in other directions.
That was retired University of Geneva professor André Mader talking with SwissInfo journalist Celia Lutterbacher. You can read more about Mader and Müller's research on our website. Visit us at swissinfo.ch for the latest findings from other Swiss stargazers as well. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Yvonne Steiner. I'm Susan Masika.